Acts chapter 2 and verse number 44 was our text. And all that believed were together. The Bible says they had all things common. And we went back through chapter 2 and we looked at all of the things that transpired on that particular Pentecost day. And we also noted that Jesus was preached. That's what made the day so significant. And that's what would change the world. That the world has been changed ever since that Pentecost day. And here we are today still obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ because Jesus is still being preached. And we found that they had all things common. They worshiped together. They socialized together. They prayed together. They even sold their possessions so that everyone who had need would have, everyone who had need would certainly have those needs fulfilled and taken care of. We understand that and we appreciate that even today, that those early preachers were binding those folks together because they were preaching Christ. And boy, that should be a lesson for all preachers today and for all those who will proclaim the word of God, whether we are preachers in the pulpit or whether we are teachers in the classroom or whether we are evangelistically teaching someone the gospel, we certainly ought to preach Christ. And when we preach Christ, then we can appreciate then all of the things that transpires when Christ is truly preached, and how salvation can certainly come to souls when Christ is preached, and how the church can have all things in common when Christ is preached. When we are in disunity and disharmony and we don't have things in common, I assure you it's because Christ is no longer being preached. When men start preaching their opinions and their thoughts and their own ideologies and all these kind of things, then it brings about division among us. And that's what we see so much in the world today. But if Christ is preached, we'll find that we have all things in common. Notice several of those things, if you will. Things in common. Let me get this together here. Went out on me, Brother Craig. We get to appreciate the significance of Christ being preached. And we need to make sure we preach Christ. So when you preach Christ, some things you will know. You will know the way to the Father when Christ is preached. In fact, in John chapter 14, Jesus says to his disciples in verse number 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." And Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." So when we see passages like that and we hear Jesus' doctrine, then what it helps us to appreciate is the reason and the significance of why Jesus has to be preached. You see, Jesus is preached, and then we find that he is the only way to the Father. One cannot obtain favor of God without Christ. The Bible reveals to us in John chapter 1 and verse number 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." In opposition to the law that could not make the comers thereunto, the Bible says, perfect, Jesus brought a system of religion that was full of favors and full of grace for man, a system that was full of mercy and true in all things. One cannot even enter into the kingdom without Christ. In fact, if it were not for Christ, God wouldn't have a kingdom to translate us into. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13.
Who have delivered us from the power of darkness.
Who is doing the delivering? Back up to verse number 12.
Giving thanks unto the Father.
Giving thanks unto the Father. Come on, read.
Which has made us meet
to be partakers of what?
Of the inheritance of the saints in light.
Uh-huh.
Whom have delivered us from the power of darkness.
This is the work of the Father. Who had delivered us from the power then of darkness. The word delivered is ruamai. And it means to draw to oneself. It means to rescue. And that's exactly what God intended to do when he put his plan together in the first place. It's to rescue man. He wanted to draw man back to himself. God desired that we would have a relationship with him. And that's why he did everything he did with Christ. And so he had delivered us from what?
The power of darkness.
The power of darkness, and had then what?
Translated us.
That means to transfer or to carry away. So this is the work of the Father, who draws us out, rescuing us from perishing, and carries us away to be subject in the new kingdom under new laws, basically bringing us under new management. The Father did that to bring us unto the kingdom of his dear Son, so that we might belong to a new community. I'm telling you, if there is no Christ, then there's not even a kingdom to bring us to. So the Father is rescuing us and translating us into the kingdom of his dear Son. If Christ is not preached, there is no kingdom.
Amen.
He's moving us from sin and ignorance and misery to one of light, holiness, and happiness. It was the Father's plan to send the Son. That's why we have John 3:16 in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can't even have access to God's throne without Christ. And Brother Craig, that's why he's got to be preached.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what those men would have preached if they didn't preach Christ. But when you look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15 and 16, the Bible says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might find grace and mercy to help in time of need. You can't even approach God's throne if it were not for Christ. In fact, man cannot find himself, he cannot find his direction, he cannot find himself out of darkness if it were not for Christ. Jesus in John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Man is certainly lost and in need of direction, and Jesus is clearly the way, because man, the Bible says, cannot even direct his steps. Jeremiah 10:23. Jeremiah says, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. If he desires the best way, he needs to allow the Lord to direct him. And that's why that wise man said long ago, Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Depart from, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. For it shall be health unto thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Without his way, you can't go anywhere. Where are you going without his way? That's why I like what Peter said in John 6:68. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Without Christ being the way, there is no going. And without his truth, there is no knowing. John 8:32, Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Without his life, there is no living. John 6:57. As the Father, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even him, even in me shall he live. My friends, without Christ, there is no way to live. You know, Christ had to be preached as the only way to the Father. There is no access to the Father if Christ is not preached. So you understand then, on that 50th day from the first day of the Passover, known as the Pentecost, they preached Jesus. And now we begin to appreciate and understand why they preached Jesus. Because he is the only way to the Father. That, my friends, we have in common. And my friends, when Christ is preached, this is why we need to preach him. We need to preach him so we can know the only way to love God. That's another thing that we have in common. There's a whole lot of folks that say they love Jesus. A whole lot of folks that say they love God. But Jesus would actually help us to appreciate how we are to love God. So if an individual was to ask you, Brother Maxwell, say, well, Brother Maxwell, you know, they might say, Mr. Maxwell, I don't know. You know, I think I love God. Well, you know what? Maxwell will be able to give him an answer. I tell you how you love God. You love him the way Jesus told you to love him. That would be the answer we'd give, wouldn't it? And how did Jesus say one is to love God? It's found in Matthew 22 and verse number 37. What did Jesus say?
Jesus said unto him,
thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Now, this is how you love God. If you don't love him this way, my friend, something's wrong. But Jesus will help us. That's why we got to preach him, don't we?
Yes, sir.
If thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy what?
All thy heart.
With all thy heart.
All thy soul.
With all thy soul.
And with all thy mind.
Is that how you love it? These four of y'all. By four of you. That's how you love it. Rest of y'all, we don't know about you. But how do you love God? In other words, one must love God with all the faculties of one's soul, with all the understanding, the will, and his affections. The Bible says we must love the God, we love the Lord our God with all thine heart, literally the cardia. Figuratively, that means the feelings. We are to love God with supreme affection. So we have to be affectionate toward God and to love him with all our affection. He says you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy psuche. That is the breath. That is the spirit. That is the whole energy of sentiment and passion. That's the soul. But then he says you must love the God, Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That is the dianoia. My friends, that is that deep thought and understanding. Love him with the whole energy of thought and the will and all of its manifestations. You got to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. I tell you what, people better learn that before they say they love God. But you know who tells us that? Jesus. That's why he has to be preached. Well, Brother Disby, what in the world does it mean for me to love the Lord our God with all of my cardia, with all of my suke, and with all of my dianoia? Well, what it means is that you love nothing in comparison to him when you give him all of that. It means that what you love in reference to him. When you have all of that going for you, it means that you are ready to do whatever it takes to glorify him. Why? Because you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. It means that the love and the hatred that you have in your heart is there as it pertains to God. Amen. And you will allow it then to be regulated by him. That means whatever hatred I have in my heart, it's there because it's supposed to be there. It's there because the hatred that I have in my heart relates to God. It's there because the hatred I have in my heart, God is going to direct that hatred. So whatever I have in my heart, whether it's love or hatred, it's there as it relates to him. It's not there for any other reason. It's there because of God. It means the desires of my heart, the hope and the fear that is in my heart is there as it relates to God. So whatever fear I have in my heart, it's there because in some way, shape, or form, it pertains to God. And therefore, that fear that's in my heart is going to be regulated by him. Whatever the desires of my heart, the delight of my hearts are there. Whatever my desires, they are there because they relate to God. And they are going to be regulated by him. So when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, it simply means this. You will love what he loves. You will hate what he hates. Your hope will be in him. And you will have the utmost respect and reverence for him. Do you think everybody loves God that way? No. Mm-mm. So how do we know to love God that way? Jesus has to be preached. If we preach Jesus, we'll preach his doctrine, and we'll have this kind of love for God in common. Doing his will be the desires of your heart, and in this you will delight. You see, when you love God that way, that's why we can actually worship him the way he prescribes. When you love him that way, Brother Craig, you can worship him the way he prescribes. When you love him, you can do what he says, simply because sometimes when it comes to what God says, you have people who approach God one of two ways. Either they find the things that make them happy and then they offer that to God and expect God to accept it, or they find out what God wants and they offer that to God and they're happy about that. You see, when you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, then all of those things are going to be regulated by him. The only hatred I have in my heart is what he hates. That's what I hate. We hate the same thing. So my hatred that's in my heart, well, you ain't gonna hate nothing. Yeah, God hates some stuff. Why can't I hate some stuff? I ought to hate the same stuff he hates. Well, how do I know how to have that kind of hatred in my heart? It's not for people and all those kind of things. It's for sin and all those kind of things. It's for injustice and all those kind of things. It's for all that kind of stuff that God hates. Then, my friends, God will regulate in my heart. So I'm gonna have in my heart what he has in his.
Yes, sir.
Jesus says you love him that way. All your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. How do we know? because Christ is preached. And when one loves God this way, it will always result in obedience, which Jesus describes as love. Look at John 14. John 14, 15, how does it read?
If you love me, keep my commandments.
If you love me, keep my commandments. You see, that kind of love for God will have you doing what he requires. Drop down to verse number 21, if you will.
He that hath
give me verse 20 first, 20 and 21.
At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you.
Uh-huh.
He that hath my commandments and keepeth
them. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them.
He is that loveth me.
How do Jesus know who loves him? You see, that's the will in all of its manifestations. That's what that is. You're loving God with your will. Look at verse 23.
Jesus answered and said unto him,
uh-huh.
If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
When one loves from the heart, it will always result in obedience. And Jesus describes that as love. Let's do one more. We need to preach Christ so we will know the only way to live as a Christian. And that is found in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The divine favor shown forth in the gospel plan of salvation, the Bible says, is for all men. The favor of God that is shown to the undeserving. We are taught in a system of grace what we must do. We must deny ungodliness and worldly lust. That means to refuse to practice those things. And to help motivate us in regards to this, Paul penned Romans chapter 1 and verse number 18. He said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. My friends, if you're going to live the Christian life, you live it because Christ is preached. See, this is how they held the church together. This is how they had all things in common. They had all things in common because those early preachers preached Christ. And they bound those people together through the doctrine of Christ. Today, my friends, you know what's interesting is that if you turn on your television, I'm going to tell you something that is noticeably missing from all of that preaching that you hear on television. Doctrine. Bob, do you hear any doctrine? Craig, when the last time you turned on one of the televangelists and you're perusing through and then you stop and listen to one for a moment because it may give you some good material. And as you're listening to one for a moment and you notice you never hear anything about the doctrines that are in the Bible. You don't hear anything about the doctrine of Christ or the doctrine of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit or the doctrines of baptism and repentance and all this. You don't hear any of that. All you hear is health and wealth. You're going to get your blessings and all those kind of things and good motivational speeches. But the doctrine is noticeably missing. When the doctrine of Christ is preached, it'll bind us together. And we need to preach Christ so we'll know how to live as Christians. Jesus said we must live soberly. And Paul, by inspiration, is writing that to Titus. That means that you must faithfully discharge the duty that one owes to himself. He said we must live righteously, which means you must discharge the duties properly that you owe to your fellow man. And that we must live godly, which means you must discharge the duties that you owe properly to God himself. Well, my friends, that's how one lives the Christian life. And incidentally, it is exactly equivalent to the fruit of the Spirit. Found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The Bible said, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The Bible says, against such there is no law. So three to go up, three to go out, and three to go in. So that you will be able to discharge yourself those duties that you owe to oneself so that you can be sober. So you'll be able to discharge those duties that you owe to your fellow man so you'll be righteous. And you'll be able to discharge those duties that you owe to your God so you will be godly. And incidentally, that's the Christian life. That's why the fruit of the Spirit is not fruits. It is fruit. It is singular with nine elements, but one fruit. So that, my friends, you can't pick and choose. This is not a banana, an orange, and a tangerine, and a watermelon. So you can say, well, I don't eat watermelon, but I like a banana. I don't like tangerines, but I take an orange. Well, that's not the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is one fruit, and it has nine elements to the fruit, so that you need every one of them so you can discharge your duties to yourself and be sober, so you can discharge your duties to your fellow man and be righteous, so you can discharge your duties to God and be godly. And that agrees with Titus chapter 2. Verses 11 through 12. My friends, Christ being preached will help us then to even know the only way to live the Christian life. And therefore, we'll all have that in common. See, when you hear that, there is no way a person can go out here arguing and say, well, I heard what Brother Bisbee said, but I just feel like I don't have to have those three. No, we have that in common. Because that's what the Bible says. So, you know, we'll go out of here all believing the same thing. That when Christ is preached, we'll know how to live the Christian life. When Christ is preached, we'll know exactly what to do to be saved. See, if you're here today, you're here this afternoon, you know exactly what to do to be saved because we say it every week. Believe in Jesus Christ to be God's Son. Repent of your sins. Confess his wonderful name before witnesses with no shame. And then submit to baptism so that the Bible says that we can wash, that God can wash away your sins as you call on him through that process of responding to him in obedience. So that your sins can be removed and you can be added to the church, 247. Washing away your sins. If you want to do that this afternoon, we give you the same opportunity they was given in the first century. 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel that day. And my friends, we just had a soul the other night obey the gospel. And Newport News is blessed because we constantly have baptism. Our problem is, how do we figure out how to keep it? We keep teaching them and they keep getting in the water, but somehow they keep getting out of here. So we're going to have to blame ourselves and do a better job about trying to figure out how we need to root them and keep them and hang on to them because we are responsible for them. They are babes, and if we let them wander off, it's kind of on us, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
They're babes. We can't expect them where people getting in the water and then they run off and leave and we don't see them no more. Shame on us. Because shouldn't we be watching out for them?
Yes, sir.
My mother's right there. Hey, Lucia. Hey. How you doing? That's my mother. Love her to death. But my mother had a daughter named Aretha. Aretha is our youngest sister. And we got sisters at both ends. They bookends, boys in between. But we have Aretha. And Aretha was about, what, two when she ran off? She was about two. And just walked her little self on away one day. And all of us out there playing, some folks in the house, we outside the house, and somehow Aretha, at about 2 years of age, walked off and no one knew where she was. And so it's one of them situations where everybody thought that somebody else had her. And then, all of a sudden, we coming in the house, it's dark, we coming in the house, and everybody looking for the baby. Where's Aretha? Where's Aretha? We can't find her in any of the rooms. Well, everybody breaks out the house. We run it outside, and Aretha, we call and yell her name. Nowhere to be found. And we go on over to the neighbor's house. No one has seen her. By now, we know this child is lost. Now, let me tell you something. It wasn't Aretha's fault. Aretha was a baby, 2 years old. She's just doing whatever a two-year-old would do. But all the grown folks that was around there, and these adult children, and older siblings, and we were not responsible enough to know where our sister was. And I tell you what, when they found her, she was miles away. And the police found her at a one stop. And when we went down there to get her, she was sitting on the counter and they were giving her candy. But let me tell you something, that was one of the scariest days of our lives, because if you know Rockford and where it was, for her to get from our house to there is unbelievable where she was. But I'm saying that's what happens to new converts. They come in, they obey the gospel, they have a baby's mentality, and that's why the Bible describes them that way. And then we teach them, it's good to them, we offer them everything they need, they obey the gospel, and then within a few weeks they're gone, and we just going on about our business because we haven't even noticed.
So we're getting them, but how do we keep them? So y'all be thinking about that. Put your minds together and figure out how we gonna keep our babies and take care of them and watch for them and stop blaming the babies and let's stop blaming ourselves for how they keep on getting out of here. Because I tell you what, at Newport News, from the time at least I know that I've been here, we done baptized a lot of folks. Have we not?
Yeah.
We done baptized a lot of folks. And the beauty of this is there are congregations in the Lord's church that can't even say that they baptized people in years. And we baptize folk all the time. So we need to keep them, don't we? We need to do a better job of that. So that's just a mild rebuke to all of us. Let's do a better job taking care of our babies, right? So if you're here, we want to be responsible. We want you to come. And we want to do better about keeping you. But you need to still obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we give you that opportunity. We're going to stand and sing an invitation song. And as we stand and sing that song, if you need to respond to that invitation,